Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, no problem. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, get it delivered right to your door. You can be wherever you are. You can enjoy a cup of Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I'll tell you what, you don't even have to put too much charcoal on the grill this weekend. Just leave that steak outside for a few minutes. It'll be medium rare, I promise. Dang, it's hot outside. You guys up to say? You're up there in the north. You're living the sweet life.
Oh, it's not that hot here. And yeah. All my family's like, oh my gosh, it's so hot and humid here. I'm outside. I'm like, this is wonderful.
I told Carlo, I was like, I walked 3 miles this morning. When I got home, it looked like I jumped in a pool. Like, I just drenched. Like, well, what can you do? But that being said, I think we are going to do some beef for dinner tonight. But today I'm not cooking. I got a flight. I'm doing that. So I'll let somebody else handle that. And you should, too. We got great steakhouses from every corner of this state. This is a state for steak. I'll put it that way. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet Flow, by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only how to help you invest and manage your money, but how to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, bankers that will know you by name, not just by your account number. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. My friend, you know, I like to get on you. I like to pick at you about your inability sometimes to get references and know some things. But I got somebody today that outdid you. I'm going to tell this story. So I have a friend that lives in Tupelo. And next week, she is going to get a new car. Okay? So I texted her today. I was like, hey, what are you doing Saturday? And she's like, I'll still be out of town getting she's got to go get the car. It's like she got to go get it. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was thinking about coming to Tupelo Saturday to see the Odyssey. And she says, what? I'm getting an Accord.
That's like not even not getting a reference. That's
like, and I'm just like, I sent her the Steve Harvey gif of like, and she's like, what? I was like, the movie. She had no idea that the Odyssey was even a movie. Like, she had no idea.
That's not even like, not getting a reference. That's just like kind of living under a rock.
It's the biggest movie in the world. And never mind that there's been controversy about it. Like, it's the big, it's Christopher Nolan, this huge epic. It's like, I could not believe she had never heard of the Odyssey.
That's unbelievable. Legit unbelievable.
That's so I told her, I was like, this is making the podcast, just so you know. You're going to be, I'm not going to say any names. Protect the innocent in this case, but geez Louise, that was. I said, I'll be laughing about, I'm not getting a minivan for years. She said, I'm not getting a minivan.
Oh my like, God.
I had to look at that text for like, I was like, what?
Like, what is she even saying?
And then it clicked. It clicked. I was like, oh God. So, all right.
Wow.
Moving on. We are recording this on Saturday, the 18th. I got to fly all day tomorrow down to Tampa for SEC Media Day, so travel would have made a – so if something happens, I'm sorry. I can't. We can't talk about it.
You know something's going to happen now, too.
Well, what could possibly happen? It's July 19th. Nobody's practicing. Nobody's doing anything. You know, Mitchell Turner's going to flip to state tomorrow. I'll take that, but regardless. I think we were pretty close, if not 100% spot on who state's bringing to media days. We knew that it had to be Kamario Taylor. Lebby is a guy who always is going to bring his quarterback. We thought that Kelly Jones needed to come. And then I think we were sort of between Isaac Smith getting another go or Anthony Evans because he's your most, you know, prolific returning offensive guy. Lebby being an offensive coach, I thought it made sense for him to bring two offensive guys. He's done that every media days now. He's been to three media days, brought the quarterback to all of them, and then brought a lineman to the first one and then a receiver the last 2 years. I think these are the right choices for Mississippi State. These are the three best representatives for your program, and honestly, there might be the three of the best football players on the team.
I completely agree. I think we were almost spot on with it. I think Anthony Evans, like you said, was the only question mark, but Isaac Smith had already been there. And then those four guys might be the four best players on the team anyway. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, they brought Brennan Thompson last year, kind of – you know, an unknown at that point, and then he has a great, prolific season. You know, maybe something in the back of Levy's head is, let's not bring one of these receivers that people don't know about. Because then if you bring them, then it's like it becomes a name immediately.
I think about last year, if Kevin Coleman had come back to Mississippi State, he would have come to Media Days, I think. But, you know, you're bringing back – you've got – last year you didn't have a receiver that anybody knew anything about. This year, Anthony Evans is at least a known commodity. He's the leading returning receiver in the conference in terms of catches. People know who he is. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to bring him. Media days, you know, coming up. How many all-SEC guys does Mississippi State have? First team. I think it's just one. It's probably just Kelly Jones.
Kelly Jones. Yeah.
Isaac Smith could sneak in there. Evans could sneak in there. The problem with Evans is he's just not enough of a name. He might be second team, but I just don't think people are going to look at the production and they're just going to say, no, I'm going to go with, you know, Ryan Williams, whatever his other last name is now at Alabama. What is it?
Ryan Coleman Williams.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah. And, you know, Cam Coleman, obviously, at Texas is going to be first team. Maybe Wingo gets some votes. I don't know. But Satania at Oklahoma is back. But Evans could probably be a second or third team guy. When this is all done, I'm just trying to fluff. I don't think he gets the third team at all. On the defensive side, Isaac Smith will get some votes.
Definitely.
That's about it. Yeah.
I mean, maybe one of the other corners could get some votes as well.
Does anybody stick their neck out there for Kamario? Just be like, just watch.
Hey, I it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. I think he's got the most. I mean, we've talked about his upside 1,000 times on the show, but he has the most upside potential. I mean, he definitely could sneak in there, especially if, you know, someone goes down or someone's not having a great year. Think about how high people were on DJ Lagway and Lenora Sellers last year, and both of them didn't even sniff the third team.
Right.
So, I mean, people are high on all these players. Now, I mean, Trinidad and Arch have been, you know, they're both going into what, their second full year starting now?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Like Arch, like 2.5, kind of.
Yeah, and Trinidad, I mean, he didn't start the first two games, so yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's true. But, like, you know, you could slip in there or something. You never know.
Who's – how do I say this? You know, I guess my question would be this. Like, you're not going to be there this week. If you were going to be there, I'll give you one question each. What's the question you'd like to ask Lebby?
How confident are you in your offensive line room?
Yeah, I feel like that's gonna be the first question he gets from a lot of folks, because it's the question that defines this season.
Right? Absolutely.
You know the skill position guys; they look really good, right? Defensively, we're banking on improvement here because of Arnett and because you've increased the talent in that room, in all the rooms for sure. You've got an All-American corner that solves a lot of problems for you. It's all about the offensive line, so that's a good one. What's your question for Kelly Jones?
All right, I've got two.
All right.
On the less serious note, there's an Instagram account called Kelly Jones Lover,
Yeah.
and he is everywhere. I know, I don't want to say I know the kid, but I found out who he was because I picked him out in the stands. I was like, I know you have the account. And he DM'd me after. I was like, you're right, after denying it. But
Nah.
the joke question, I'd be like, what's your thoughts on the Kelly Jones lover account? But serious question. There's a lot of things you could ask him. He already had a first round grade last year. You could ask him like why he came back, or you could ask him like, what do you think is the ceiling of this secondary, or how do you think it's improved so much with, bringing people in from last year? I would probably aim towards something like that of, what are the, how can you lead this secondary, and how have you seen them improve since the end of last season?
Okay, that's a good one. What's your question for Anthony Evans?
Who's the receiver in the room that people aren't talking about enough?
That's yeah, and that's it's fun because last year with Brennan Thompson, like when I did my interview with him, I felt like I was doing an introduction. Like nobody knew who that guy was. Like
He was so polite. Oh my gosh, he
I
was so
couldn't. Well, like when he sat down, I didn't even know. I didn't know what to expect. Like I didn't know anything about him. I actually reached out to Chad Bumpus about a week before media days, and I was like, "Man, I don't know anything about this kid. Give me some questions, like so beyond the normal stuff." And to Chad's credit, he was just like, "Ask him about this stuff," and I did ask him that stuff, and he gave great answers. I couldn't believe how good that interview was when he wrapped up because I walked in with zero expectation. So with Evans, we'll see where he goes with that. And then last but not least, obviously, sit down with Kamario. What do you want to talk to him about? What's your questions for Kamario?
Well, you can ask this guy a lot. First of all, what do you think the biggest difference now? What do you think the biggest difference in your game is now, with the full offseason as, the bona fide QB1? You could also ask him about, like, how have you developed into a leader in the team? That's another good one. Or you could even ask him, like, what are some things you want to show this year with this offense? What is something that you guys want to show off, and what maybe what's a way that you guys would put yourselves on the national spotlight?
Yeah. I'm fascinated to talk to Kamario. He's another one that I've never done an interview with Kamario, so I kind of have
You've never
I
talked to him?
mm-mm. Well, I
Really?
don't ever do post game.
Huh?
I never do post game. I always
Oh,
do
that's true.
the post game show. So, and he's they never brought him in for availability on a Monday or anything, obviously.
I got him at the tail end of his high school career. Obviously, we got him a few times last year post game, but he's improved a lot as a media training
I
as well.
think
He's
he's a,
turned into a pretty good quote.
and that to me is a sign of maturity. That's a positive. Like I'll tell you this, Nick Fitzgerald, the first times you interviewed him, it's like talking to a brick wall. You couldn't get anything. But by the end of his senior year, he would come up there and just BS with us and just joke around. And I thought he got better as a interview as he got better as a player. I was up there one time. Tyler Horka made a fat joke or something, and I was like, I can't. I was like, Nick, can you believe we're still body shaming in 2018? And Nick looked right at Tyler and just went, I mean, what the hell's wrong with you? Thought it was really funny. Dak was the same way. Dak, when he was the first guy, like couldn't no didn't want to talk to the guy, but by the time he left, you could have full conversation with him. He was a great interview. So it's just about maturity, and the guys that get better at anything, to me, show that they can get better at everything. And you with him, we don't. I'm not worried at any way, shape, or form about physical talent. It's about, how do you mature? How do you lead? And doing that, speaking to guys like you and me, is part of that. So that's a really good one. Thursday is Mississippi State's day at Media Days. Speaking to the folks over at State, they've told me that they're going to be there like late, or I'm sorry, early afternoon, like maybe even late morning kind of thing. So we'll get all that done. Have all the interviews on Sports Talk Mississippi and on Thunder and Lightning Live. Don't forget next week, by the way, Thunder and Lightning Live moving to Thursday because we have Mississippi State Day on Thursday. We're going to do the show on Thursday. So we'll have Thunder and Lightning Live instead of on Wednesday at 6. It will be on Thursday at 6. Also want to give you guys a heads up. The Not Fall Camp Tour is going to be a thing again this year where Sports Talk Mississippi is live in Hattiesburg, in Oxford, and we will be in Starkville. We're trying to set all the dates for that, but we will be live in the Cotton District. We will have a live guest, as you can imagine, so it should be a lot of fun. We'll give you more details on that as we get there. But SEC Media Days starting on Monday. I guess I should look and see who all's doing what here as far as the lineup goes. I know that on
LSU's trio?
Well, you know he brought Daugherty for one reason and one reason only, to get the 100%. Answer. Why did you leave Ole Miss? So Daugherty can just sit there and be like, well, I just wanted to be somewhere where I could win a championship. Kind of. That answer is pre-programmed. So that'll be a well, – yeah.
I was more talking about no Sam Leavitt.
The two quarterbacks that aren't coming that should be there are Sam Leavitt and Austin Simmons.
Austin Simmons didn't make Missouri's?
Mm-mm. He's already been named the starter.
Who's their three players?
Let me see if it's on this whole – this is just the coaches here. So let me just real quick go through this. Monday is an incredibly boring day for those of us in the state of Mississippi. Kentucky, Missouri, Oklahoma, Tennessee. Now, at least with Missouri and Oklahoma, that's a team that both stayed in Ole Miss play, so there is something there. But those are your Monday teams. Tuesday is Auburn, Georgia, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Wednesday, Alabama, Florida, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. That's a pretty interesting day.
Good day.
And then Thursday, it's really weird in that they loaded up Thursday with two of the bigger programs. Normally, you know this, Thursday is like – normally the teams that are on Monday this year would be the teams that are on Thursday. Like Missouri, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Tennessee, let's get out of here. What are we doing here? Honestly, and I'll give you guys a little inside baseball. If State wasn't on Thursday, we would be packing up and we'd be gone Thursday. We just have the show pre-recorded, everything would be locked in, and we would just go. But because State's there, we're going to stay till Thursday. But Thursday this year is Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State, and Texas. So a really good lineup there for Thursday.
Ryan, I remember last year one of the biggest things in Atlanta was the crowd around Arch Manning. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see what it's going to be this year because that was easily the biggest. I mean, we had people waiting 30 minutes with their cameras and tripods.
Yeah, in front just of trying to get a blurb.
It's crazy. It was like I didn't need anything from it, but I stood in the crowd just because I wanted to like.
It'll be
part of it. It was crazy.
This year, that will be Kiffin.
Oh yeah. Oh,
it won't be a player as much. Like Arch, because he's coming back this year. You've seen him, right? You know. It's not the same as it was last year.
He'll still get a lot
of attention, but it won't be the same because it's not the first time, right? Chambliss will get big crowds, I bet. And then, so you asked about Missouri. They're bringing Caden Green, the offensive lineman, Jamal Roberts, who I guess is their starting running back to start the season until Hardy's 100%, and Nicholas Rodriguez, a linebacker. I can't believe they're not bringing Simmons. That's a miss. Simmons was there last year with Ole Miss. He's super smart.
He's a great quote too.
Great interview.
Very nice guy. Yeah. I'm surprised actually.
Borky did a like 20-minute sit down with him last year for the show. I mean, the kid couldn't have been better. So I'm very surprised that they're not bringing him. But
he could be like a doctor in like 2 years or something. He is.
You're
so
absolutely
smart.
Correct. Yeah.
Like he's such a nice, polite guy.
It's State and Ole Miss did the best job. They both nailed it. So State, we mentioned Ole Miss bringing Chambliss, Lacey, and Will Eccles. Your three biggest stars.
Yeah.
That's who you should be bringing, yeah. 11 quarterbacks are coming. Auburn, Byron Brown will be there. Gunnar Stockton. Kentucky bringing Kenny Minchie, okay. Chambliss and Taylor, we've already mentioned. Mateer coming from Oklahoma. Sellers coming from South Carolina. Arch coming from Texas. Marcel Reed, I'm sorry. Coming from Texas A&M. I knew that Vandy, Alabama, Arkansas probably wouldn't bring theirs, but, man, I was really shocked to see Leavitt and Simmons not making the trip. I don't get that. Especially Kiffin being such a QB guy. You thought he'd just throw his guy out there.
He's such a troll guy too, though. He's equally as much of a troll guy. Honestly, though, I think that would. I mean, I don't know if Sam Levitt wanted to attend or not, but I feel like it's kind of a slap in the face to him. It's like you're the what people would like to call like the best transfer in the portal, or one of the biggest guys that paid him a bunch of money.
Yeah.
What, they paid him $5 million? He's not even showing up to media days, but that's his coach's decision.
That's the other guy who it should Seton be there?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I
Yeah.
totally forgot about
$6
that.
million dollar NIL deal. We can't get this guy here.
$11 million on the bench and not even going to
Yeah.
the wow. Yeah, I mean Dottery is the troll one of the two. I
Yeah.
mean Whit
So
Weeks,
is Weeks a little bit.
yeah, but he's been there forever. That makes
He
sense.
came last year. And then
I
look, I'll say this. Tre'Davious Green is an intriguing guy, super physical prospect. I get it. I get it. He's a guy who could be a huge difference maker. Like you and I both know that Kiffin offense does a great job of highlighting the tight ends, and he is a physical specimen. So there's a possibility that he could be really, really good for the Tigers this year. But you got to bring your QB. If you know who your starting quarterback is, he's got to come to media days.
Absolutely.
It's like an unwritten rule. So, all right, Media Days coverage, Sports Talk Mississippi. Obviously, we start 3 o'clock. We will be doing interviews, plenty of stuff on our social media channels as well. If you're not already following Super Talk and Sports Talk Mississippi on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, do that so you can get all of our content. We're gonna have a lot of stuff that you don't see on the show as well, including me just berating Michael Borky at all times. You never know. You never know. He deserves it. He absolutely deserves it. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. I may do a Two Brothers lunch today. That's where my headspace is right now. Is that what the kids say?
No,
Y'all don't say that?
swing and a miss, strike
You know
three.
what? I'll take a point from. Do I have a sheet? You have a sheet for me? There, put it down.
No,
I missed.
because if I made a sheet for you, then you would have been like, no, you can't make a sheet. I made the sheet. The sheet's my idea.
Well, then you could have done something else. You could have had like a board or something where you
Like a
pull a
whiteboard,
like a battleship.
a
You ever play
dartboard.
Battleship?
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
you just see like, hit, miss. You could have done
Missed.
that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I
Guess.
wish I had like the operation game where you hit
Oh yeah,
the part of the
yeah.
body part and argh.
Yeah. Well, here comes the segue. It's always a hit. It's never a miss. At Two Brothers Smoked Meats. When you go pick any of the awesome items they have on the menu there, Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you are in the market right now for a new copy or a new printer, here's your business, new laptops or computers, whatever it is, call Advantage Business Systems. Get them to take care of you with not only the product that you need, but the price you want and the guarantee, the blanket of security, of service after the sale. That's what has made Advantage Business Systems stand out from their competitors for the last 5 decades. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're in Starkville and you're looking for Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Whenever you're in Starkville, please go see our friends over at Maroon & Co. because when you need maroon and white, they've got it. Nobody in the Golden Triangle with a bigger, better, wider, more unique selection of gear than our friends over at Maroon & Co. Plus, they're just nice people, as evidenced by the gift basket that they were able to give our friend Carla. Was that one of the Bottomland
Mossy
Mossy?
Oak. Mossy
Very
Oak.
nice. Very nice. You can only get it at Maroon and Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15, save 15% off the regular price. Some exclusions do apply. When you're in Starkville and you're shopping for Mississippi State gear, the only place to go is Maroon and Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. No rain today, brother. That grass is getting mowed. And if you want to make sure it looks its best, you need a John Deere mower. If you've got a normal house like me, you get the John Deere zero turn, you can be done in no time. But if you got one of those huge tracts of land, you might need to talk about a John Deere compact tractor. They'll take care of you at Scruggs. Great financing available on all 1 through 5 series tractors. Go see our friends at Scruggs today. Scruggs Farm, Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, our friends at Good Hope Land and Timber, they want to talk to you because they want to help you. They want to help you manage your land, manage your resources, manage your timber. It's your most important resource. Get the experts in there to help you manage it. And if you're trying to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can absolutely help you with that purchase as well. Experts in their field, make them experts in your field with a phone call today. 601-442-9888. Or you can visit them online, g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. One more thing before we go into this interview, and we're just gonna replay our interview with Jacob Hester in case you missed it last week, but we will talk a little bit about what he had to say. But I want to give a shout out to our friends at Section 103, the official apparel provider of Thunder and Lightning, for hooking me up with that sweet LSU polo. I knew that if I put Richard in maroon and white, he was going to make his little quips about they did play off this and World Series that. It's like I won the battle, but I lost the war kind of things, right? So I was like, I got to go another way. And so I saw that Section 103 had the LSU gear. I was like, perfect. We'll turn him into Lane Kiffin's twin. It was eerie how much he looked like Kiffin. It's incredible.
It looked great. It looked great. It was on point. You nailed
they got
it.
They both got the right amount of smug in their natural features. So. But thank you to Section 103. Guys, check out section103.com. They got a great selection of Mississippi State gear. Use our code TL10. Take 10% off your first purchase. Any purchase with our friends at Section 103, the official apparel provider of Thunder and Lightning. All right. Last week, I spoke with Jacob Hester. Jacob's doing NFL work now for SiriusXM. Show called Moving the Chains. He's not doing as much national college football, but obviously still very dialed in, hosting off the bench in the mornings on ESPN 104.5 down there in Baton Rouge with former LSU quarterback Matt Flynn. Thought it was a really good interview. We hit some big topics. We'll talk about a couple of those things when we come back. But let's go now to this interview with Jacob Hester, ESPN 104.5. All interviews here on the show brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. Guys, if you are looking for recovery, if you are a person, you hit the gym, you're out running a few miles a day, you work your body, you're trying to stay in shape, recovery is a huge piece of that. You can't just work yourself to death. You've got to take time to recover, and Alora Modern Wellness has all of the services that can help you do that, including the really cool new Escape Massage, the robotic massage. A really interesting experience. I suggest that you go and check it out. Give it a try. See if you like it. I think that you will. But regardless of that, whatever you're trying to do to keep your body at its absolute maximum, Alora Modern Wellness has a service for you. AloraModernWellness.com. You can book everything right there or call them at 662-268-9255. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with former LSU superstar Jacob Hester. Let's talk some college football with Jacob Hester. It says Jacob there. It's just never going to happen. I'll just go ahead and let you know.
I forgot about that. It does say Jake in the corner. Look, we are close enough at this point where you can call me Jake. I mean, we're friends.
We are friends. We are absolutely friends, but like, it's just tough. Like,
that's
it'd be like you call me Brian. It doesn't work, you know?
That's true.
Fair enough. Jake is now covering NFL. Now, he's on an NFL radio show called Moving the Chains. You want to check that out, but he's still very deep into college football. So let's talk some SEC today, Jake. And just a simple question to start, and I mean, it might be the answer closest to you. Who's going to be the most improved team in the SEC this year?
So there's going to be a lot of new head coaches. So there's going to be a lot of candidates, you would think, for this conversation. And anytime you ask for most improved, you got to go to a team that's not, you know, in the playoff discussion a year ago. And so, look, it's going to be a homer answer, but LSU better be better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they were bad last year. They won 7 games. And so we are expecting Lane Kiffin and everything they brought in to be much better than it was. So they better be the most improved team. They have a lot of expectations, a lot of pressure. They can't be anywhere close to the team that they were a year ago. So it's not because I played or cover LSU, call the games. No, they're the answer. Because if they're not improved, oh, man, it is going to be so loud in Baton Rouge, you're not going to be able to turn it off. And so it better be LSU or it's going to be a very interesting season.
We're getting close to media days, as you mentioned. We'll get to see all of the people who cover every team. Who's the team that you feel like you have the least handle on right now?
Arkansas.
Mm.
Man, they released the names of guys that are going to be at Media Day, and I don't think that a casual SEC college football fan is going to know who any of the guys are. And that's
Yeah.
not a slight at them. It's just kind of where they're at right now. And some of those guys have been with the staff at Memphis, and so they're coming over. And so, you're not watching, I guess, a lot of the American conference, but right now, like when we all do our homework and we're going to be hosting shows and we're getting all of our stuff ready, I'm going to have to prep on Arkansas
Yeah.
probably the most, because for like Florida, like I know John Summerall, man. I've interviewed John Summerall so many times. Golish at Auburn, I've interviewed him so many times, and they still have names that every SEC fan knows, right? They've got household SEC names. For Arkansas, they just don't have that this year. It is going to be so much new. Now, the expectation's not going to be high there,
Right.
but if you're asking me, like, who do you have no clue about their team? It's got to be Arkansas because, again, the guys they're bringing to Media Day, you got to kind of do a little profile look up on those guys.
So let's play a what if game. I want you to give me a what if for this upcoming season that might be important. It doesn't matter what team it is, what player maybe that performs. What's a big what if for SEC football in 2026?
What if Trinidad Chambliss gets hurt?
Ooh,
I think that
that's a
would
nightmare
be
scenario.
the worst case scenario for Ole Miss. He is so good. He's so dynamic. He makes so many plays on his own. Now, it's not to say that they don't have playmakers, but he's got that trait that like Mahomes and Caleb Williams have, where it doesn't have to be perfect. It can just be a normal play that he turns into a superstar play. I covered the game down in New Orleans against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and I was on the sideline for that game, and I was like, this is like something that nobody else in college football right now could do. What he was doing against that defense, that coaching staff, the way that he was getting away was remarkable. I mean, and then he was getting away from the rush, free rushers, Georgia of all places, and then he was making a play. What if he gets hurt? That is like you. We don't talk about Ole Miss. They might be a 10-2 team. If he gets hurt, I don't even know what that would look like for them. I think he is the most important player to his team in the SEC. So when you ask me what if he goes down, what is Ole Miss would be my answer to that.
So you mentioned Chambliss, and I've been talking a lot past. I don't know. I haven't. I may flip a coin for all SEC quarterback between him and Arch Manning. And I did an interview last week with our friend Wilson Alexander, and I was like, "Who's the
Yeah.
third best quarterback in the SEC?" And we talked about that. I want to go a different way with you. I think we all agree when he's healthy, Ahmad Hardy and then Kewan Lacy are the best two running backs in the SEC. Who's the third best running back in the SEC?
Oh man, yeah, Ahmad Hardy. I hope he is. By the
I
way,
hope he is too,
I
because
hope
he's a
he
special
does.
player.
I
He's a
hope he
super
does
guy.
get healthy. I do. Gosh, I mean, Jaden down in Florida is pretty good.
Very good.
I mean, he's hard to kind of go away from. And I was trying to think of another answer because I think I love him so much because he reminds me of a style that we don't have anymore. I mean, he is downhill. He's no, worrying about shifty. He's not worried about making you miss. He's worried about running through your soul.
Are you
And
trying
we
to tell
just
me he
don't.
reminds you of a young Jacob Hester?
Well, I mean, he's got that skill set, man. Because look, here's the thing. I didn't have that as a skill set. Like, I had one skill, and it was to try to run through you. That was my biggest attribute. It's what I had. Jaden Ball's got, like, he's got some wiggle to him, but he doesn't use it, and I love it because he knows he's going to be able to run right through the defender. I remember watching him last year, and he created so many runs on his own. And not to say, again, like, I don't, when I say that, it's not like to besmirch the offensive line. They had a couple guys drafted, but it wouldn't be blocked up perfectly, and he would still make 7 yards on the run. And so he's coming to Media Day, I believe. I believe I saw him on the,
He is.
okay,
He'll be
he's on
there.
the list. I'm excited to catch up with him because I want to ask him about his mentality because I think I know what his answer is going to be, which is take the will of his opponent, which I appreciate. That's the style of running backs that I like. So he's not the flashiest, but I bet we look up and I bet he's in the top three in yards at the end of the season if he stays healthy.
If I made you nitpick between Hardy and Lacey, who do you like better?
Ooh, man. I thought maybe you'd go this way. I like Hardy better. God, such a tough question. So I want to give Lacey his respect, but also I love the scheme that Ole Miss ran a year ago. It really, for the entire tenure of that staff, there was so much diversity in the run game. And what I mean by that is, like, LSU was so bad at running the football last year, and it was inside zone over and over and over again. It's like, hey, maybe you should run some gap scheme. I don't know, run a power. LSU didn't run a single power last year, not one. That's wild. That can't
Crazy.
happen. When you do things like that, it doesn't set your running back up for success. So what I love about Ole Miss last year is it would be outside zone, it'd be inside zone, it would be duo, power, counter. Everything was on the table. And I love that about their scheme. And so if they continued to do that, Lacey might end up having the most yards. But Ahmad Hardy, when you look at him, they're going to be same old Missouri. They're going to run outside zone. It's going to be their key bread and butter, but he runs it so effectively. Now, he's dealing with some stuff off the field, some injury. Obviously, we know that. So maybe the answer is Lacy, but Hardy is somebody that I can see translating to the NFL if all things go right, maybe at a higher level. So I'll say him, but I want to make sure I give Lacy his credit. Last year, that game against Miami, I mean, he was trying everything he could to will his team to victory. So that's like choosing your favorite son. And, you know, maybe you ask me on a certain day, I give you a son's name. It might be different every single day. You know what I mean?
That's
Depending on
easy for
how they,
me
you
to.
know, how they behave that day.
It's easy for me to pick. I got two daughters, so I can tell you my favorite son automatically. I don't have one.
There you go. I finally got one of those too, by the way. I
I
finally
saw
got
that.
one. I finally
Congratulations
got
to
one.
you.
Thank you. It took 5 tries.
Well, you know what? They don't limit you. You can have as many as you want.
That's true. That's fair.
Let's talk a little Mississippi State. What's your first impression of Kamario Taylor?
Oh, dynamic. I mean, super dynamic. And so I think that's, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, you know the team very well. I think that is a better situation. And look, you know me, I love, like, Blake Chapin's somebody that I really love. He went to my high school. I've known Blake for a long time. I think Blake's a very talented young man. But I think this offense is going to be what this staff wants. I think they're going to be able to do some more things. And so I think just the dynamic ability of what the offense is going to be this year is going to set up better for what Jeff Lebby wants to do, if you look at his past, at least. So I'm excited about it. I think Starkville is going to, have some games in that stadium this year. Because look, it's a tough schedule for Mississippi State. Whoever they upset at the league office, they need to apologize. It's going to be another tough schedule, but there's going to be some games in Starkville that I think that crowd's going to really enjoy, just because the offense is going to have some more explosion this year.
So you know scheme a lot better than I do, but when I watch State play, I mean, there's receivers running open every play, and there's some holes to be had, but the offensive line really limited Mississippi State a season ago. Is it as simple as saying that? I guess my question would be, if this offensive line is just average, doesn't have to be great, just average, what's the ceiling for this offense?
Well, I think also when you look at the offensive line, the thing I was surprised about last year, because you're right, I mean, you might have had the fastest player in college football last year, and he was running open a lot, but
He was.
you couldn't get him the football. And that's tough when you have a deep threat like that. Like, you got to have a really good offensive line to hold up, and they didn't have that last year. So I can understand the frustrations there. But also, if you don't have it, you got to get the ball out quick. Like, you got to come up with some stuff that's going to get the ball out of your quarterback's hand. Now, I don't know if it's going to be improved enough to take shots down the field, but some of that's got to come with scheme, right? And again, you're going to have a dynamic playmaker back there that I think he can get the ball out quick. I think he's going to terrify people with what he can do on the ground as well. And so that's going to hold people back a little bit. They're not going to be as aggressive. When you have a pure pocket passer, you can just go after the spot, because the spot doesn't really change. Now, with a guy like you got back there now, the spot can change, and it can change really fast. And so you can't be as aggressive. So you're going to have more time, but also give him some easy throws. That's what I used to love about Mike Leach's offense. I mean, he would throw it to Woody Marks just like in the flats. He'd a little swing route, throw it to Woody Marks, and it would be a positive play. It'd get everybody comfortable, everybody in the game, and it slowed down the defense. It's one of the things I love about the air raid offense. I'm not saying go air raid by any means, but have some of those principles if you have a struggling offensive line. It was maddening why LSU didn't do some of that. And kind of going back to the team I see every week, they would have a struggling offensive line and they're running 38-yard routes down the field. I'm like, you're never going to have the time to throw that. And so if you don't, it becomes an offensive coordinator thing where you've got to make the adjustment.
The SEC schedule makers may have it out for Mississippi State, but they did give us LSU at 11 a.m. on a Saturday. So you got at least one piece of positive news out of there. Jacob, man, always appreciate you. I'll see you next week at Media Days.
I look forward to it. Look forward to having the conversation as always, brother. Anytime.
Want to get your thoughts on a couple of things that Jacob had to say there. One, I know, I don't know if you've li did you listen to the interview? It's been up since Friday. Okay. I asked him for a what if. What is a what if that could really shape or reshape what we think about the conference this year? It went a little dark. He's like, what if Trinidad Chambliss gets hurt? And I was like, I mean, but he's right. Like, that is, I think Ole Miss is the program. Look, nobody does better. Let me change that, because Ole Miss did somehow do better last year with their. But I don't think that Deuce Knight comes in and gives them what Trinidad does. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I think Deuce Knight is a super talented player, and he's gonna. I look forward to the 27 Egg Bowl, which is the Taylor versus Knight showdown that we kind of were talking about for years in high school. But that was his choice. So I'll ask you the same question. Give me a what if. And if you just want to focus on State and Ole Miss, because those are the programs you cover the closest, that's fine. But what's a what if for you this year?
Like that reshapes the conference, or
Yeah,
just
reshapes the way we think about things. Yeah.
if Texas isn't good, this it's going to be wide open.
Ooh.
If they're stuck at 9-3 like they were last year, if they're on the cusp, like they don't take the leap like everyone kind of is expecting them
Well,
to, that's wide open.
you could
You could say
leap from
Georgia.
there. You could
Sorry.
leap from there, though. You could go from if what if Texas misses the playoff, right? That turns into Steve Sarkisian gets fired.
Yeah.
I think he would get fired. If 2 years with Arch Manning and he didn't make the playoff either year, I think he'd get fired.
And the team they have, they're
They're
easy,
loaded.
top to bottom, the best team roster standpoint in the SEC. There's no reason they shouldn't.
That's a very interesting one.
If they're not good, then think about this. How many teams did the SEC have in the playoff last year? Bama, Alabama,
Four.
or Bama, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Georgia, right?
Right.
I mean, if
Was four the year before as well.
yeah, you would like to think Texas is probably one of the teams in there. Georgia's probably going to be in there. That
And
leaves
then
two other spots for, Bama, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, or other teams. But
LSU.
if Texas is out, that opens in a completely new door for a lot of people.
Well, so mine is kind of similar to yours, but it's what if Alabama doesn't make the playoff?
Oh, that's a very real.
That's what I was feels very real.
Or is gone.
So I
Yeah,
think
right.
so. Yeah. I talked to Bill Bender from the Sporting News last week on Sports Talk Mississippi. He had already done a mock playoff. You'll love his national championship pick. But he didn't have Alabama in there. Yeah. He didn't have Alabama in there. And I was like, what does that mean? And, Alabama, for whatever reason, did that thing that athletic directors do where they give an extension to a guy in the middle of the offseason when nobody's trying to hire him. And all it does is mean that if you do fire him, you're going to have to owe him like $60 million. And if in a 12-team playoff era, he misses the playoff for the second time, how do you go forward with that at Alabama? So that mean I think that Sarkisian and DeBoer are two of the sneakiest hot seats in the country right now, because nobody's talking about them being on the hot seat, but the pressure is there for them, and maybe more so than any other coach in the conference, right? They have to be in the playoff. And quite frankly, it may not just be enough to be in the playoff. You may have to win a couple of games. You lose in the semifinals. All right, we did everything we could, right? But if Bama goes out first round, or they get handled by an Indiana or an Ohio State in the second round, or something like that, that's not going to be acceptable to those people. I Texas, if Texas loses in the first, if Texas does what Texas A&M did last year, they host a first round playoff game, but they lose. That's not going to be good enough at these places. You're spending all this money. You expect to be better. And I don't know. That's my what if. The other one, he talked about Kamario Taylor. He called him dynamic, was the word that he used to describe him. I think that's a really good term for him. Is Taylor the most dynamic quarterback in the SEC? I guess potentially we should throw that word in. Is he potentially the most dynamic quarterback in the SEC?
I mean, I think he has to be at this point. I mean, he showed himself as a runner all through last season, especially in that game against Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl. I mean, they lost, but he dominated them on the ground, and they could not stop him. That clip of his believe his long touchdown in the third or fourth quarter went viral again last week because he just, I mean, it showed his abilities, and people, I guess, aren't awake to that just yet. But I think with him getting all the praise of the Manning Academy for the strong arm and everything, I mean, he's got the most potential of anybody. He's dynamic as a runner. He can elude, he can get rid of guys in the pocket. But if he can really get those throws, like we've talked about in the intermediate and stuff, I mean, how do you stop that guy? Then you've got, you know, seven in the box, you got four in the secondary. Well, I'll pick you apart deep because they've got guys that are running, you know, 4-2s on the team. Or you load up the box, or you don't load up the box, and then he's going to beat you and he's going to get a first down easily. He's a hard guy to game plan. If he really puts all those tools together, Brian, he can be a really scary player. And I think dynamic's the perfect word. I think he hit the nail on the head there.
I think that is the right word, and I'm excited to see how dynamic he's going to be. It's hard to believe, man. We're not that far away. We get to
Not that
media
far.
days. Media days gives you a full week of just talking about football, and then next week we kind of have like a little bit of a lull, and then boom, camp's going on. So we're almost there, guys. We're gonna
And
make it.
you get to talk to Zach Arnett again.
We have our day coming up to talk to all our assistant coaches. Yeah, I'm excited. Excited. I've seen Zach. I haven't spoken to him. Like he was walking through Seal, and I was like, "Hey, hey," and that was it.
Hey,
But
hey. So
not
to look.
awkward. I like Zach. He and I
No,
got
it's
along
not
great.
awkward. Yeah, never
Yeah.
mind.
So, all right. Carl and I will carve out time while I'm in Tampa. He'll be back in Starkville this week. And are you back in Starkville? Are you in Starkville next week?
Well, yeah, I'm
When do you
coming back
go
to.
back to Chicago? I guess would be my real question.
I believe next Saturday or Sunday.
Saturday, the
25th or the 20 or
So
the
you
20.
won't be in Starkville that week.
No, I will
When
not.
I say next week, I meant the week after Media Days.
Okay. Yeah, from now on, it's 1 week there, 1 week here.
Okay, I got you. I got you. Cool. We'll make it all work. We'll figure it out. Talk to you guys on Tuesday for Carlo Barone. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.